Okay. If you'd like to turn, face the center, please do so. Also, there's a couple of empty spaces up here if you'd like to move closer. Good afternoon. You might be asking yourself right now, what is he doing sitting there? That's a good question. And I'm going to answer that question with a little story, a modern-day Zen story, you might say. Are you familiar with the movie MASH? Everybody is familiar with the movie MASH. Or not? Really? Well, one person. Somebody explain it to her later. There's a scene in the movie, and you don't have to see the movie to get this, I hope. there's a scene in the movie where Captain Hawkeye Pierce first meets Major Margaret O'Houlihan, and they meet in the mess tent. And they have a brief and acrimonious exchange, and Hawkeye calls Margaret a regular army clown and leaves. And she's furious. So she loudly exclaims, "I wonder how a degenerated person like that could have reached a position of responsibility in the Army Medical Corps." And Father Mulcahy looks up and says, "He was drafted." Yeah. He was drafted. When I saw this movie, I was in the Army. I saw it on an Army base, Army theater on base. And most of the guys, most of us who saw this movie at the time I saw, were in the Army, and most of us were drafted. So we could really relate to that. And it got a better reaction than here, actually. We all went crazy when he said that, because we could really relate to that. And we're all drafted. Every day we wake up drafted. And us guys in the Army found ourselves, because of causes and conditions we had no control over, one day we woke up, our number came up, and we were soldiers. So we did the best we could. We made the best of a situation that we felt ill-prepared for and unqualified for. Although back in those days, our way of coping was to stay stoned most of the time. Nowadays, we have a different way of coping, thank goodness. So, Genyo asked me to give a talk. I'm not going to call it a Dharma talk. I guess they all are, but he said you'll give the talk on the last day, Sunday. And by then you'll be in deep samadhi, so don't worry about it. Session samadhi, he called it. I'm not a big fan of words like samadhi. I understand what he meant, of course, and those words are very helpful. But I understand what he means in terms of the peace and the joy that comes from sitting, especially at session. As the days of session go on, we develop this samadhi, I'll use the word. We don't always notice it, but it always seems to be there. And I notice it, maybe not so much in myself, but in others. And the way they move, and the way they sit, and the way they do their jobs and such. So, okay, I'm going to give a Dharma talk. Okay, that's interesting. What should I say? He said, well, it doesn't matter so much what you say, is that you speak from the heart. And right now, my heart is very full and not quite as clear as it could be, I think. So if I tend to ramble, if my talk seems disjointed, then I hope you'll forgive me for that. And especially to follow up his 3 days of his talks, I mean, good grief, you know. It's like being the warm-up act for the Beatles. I saw the Beatles in the mid-60s, and they had a warm-up act. Anybody not remember the Beatles? Their warm-up act was a band called The Circle. Anybody remember The Circle? You get my point. And I was afraid, what kind of talk could I give? I mean, it's going to be awful. And he said, you should have heard my early talks. They were terrible. So, in keeping in that tradition, can I say anything I want? And he said, yeah, say anything you want. So, I'm going to do two things that you shouldn't do in Dharma talks, at least as far as I understand. One is, I want to be self-indulgent. I'm up to now, so I am not continue. And the second thing I'm going to talk about, the one thing he doesn't want me to talk about, and that's him. So, excuse me right off the bat if I say anything that might embarrass you as if you get embarrassed. So it's not... It's a Dharma talk, okay. It's in the place of a Dharma talk. It's in the time slot of a Dharma talk. And maybe it's a Dharma talk, I don't know. But I really want to encourage everybody to participate in this talk. It really helped me out, as nervous as I am. And there's things I think that we need to think about right now as a Sangha and as friends who practice together. I love the Prairie Zen Center. I love coming to the Prairie Zen Center. I love what happens at the Prairie Zen Center. I love the people. I don't want to get too sappy about all this, but it's true. I love this practice. It's done so much for me in my life. It's important to me. It's important to my family, whether they know it or not. It's important to my clients, who probably don't know it, but it is. And even in a wider sense, this practice radiates out, the effects, the fruit of this practice radiates out in ways we can't even understand, ways we don't even see. And it's so valuable, and it's, I want to say, necessary, this practice. And I want to express my gratitude to all of the people who make this practice possible and who close windows, especially Genyo. There are no Dharma teachers. There are no teachers of Zen. There are only practitioners of Zen. There are only all of us who dedicate ourselves on whatever level, whatever our abilities are, to this practice. And some of us are a lot more mature at it, have a lot more experience at it than others. It's true. But we're all just practitioners. And Genyo has been a friend, a trusted friend to the Sangha and to me. And it just amazes me that he's never abused his authority. He's never put himself up on a pedestal, except right now. And has never taken the attitude that you often see from people who are in charge of groups of people and Zen centers. You read about him, you hear about him. This is not our teacher. And what I want to say, the hardest thing for me to say in this talk right now, is that, as you all know, Genyo is moving. Moving to California sometime at the end of this year, sometime later this year. And that's very difficult for me. I've tried to keep a happy face about it. Not right now, but it's very difficult to see him go. It's not like he's disappearing off the planet Earth and we'll still be our guiding teacher and all those things. So I'm not saying that I'm worried. I'm not worried that he's gone, but I am concerned. I'm concerned about the center, and I'm concerned about the Sangha, and I'm concerned about my practice and the practice of the people I care about. There is a in the newsletter, by the way, there's a nice little letter from Jeff, who's the president of Zen Center Board, which I recommend that you read. So the question then is, what, you know, one thing that doesn't worry me in all this is something somebody said to me earlier, the other day, and when we had mentioned the fact that what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. And that person said to me, what can I do? And that attitude, that perspective, I think is what is most important. I read somewhere that the three most important words of the English language are not I love you, but can I help? And I think that attitude, that spirit of, okay, what can I do, is really what's going to carry the Zen Center, this sangha, forward into the future. At least I hope it is. I'm going to do my best to make sure that happens. And I think you will too. So the question then is, where do we go from here? Well, we'll talk about all that. There's a board meeting coming up on June 14th. And everyone is invited to come and to participate in the discussions and the decision-making process that's going to be involved in this transition, in this change. And I hope you do. I don't think the question really, though, is where do we go? We don't know where we're going to go. We never know where we're going to go. It's how do we go? And maybe I should stop right here for a moment and see if anyone has anything they would like to contribute. If not, that's okay. But if you do, I would appreciate it. Yeah.
First of all, I appreciate what you said, and you are sharing from the heart, and that's really very meaningful.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to express to you that, you know, in my role at the university where I work, I do a little bit of mentoring on occasion to people, and it seemed to me that Gemmill was sort of mentoring you.
Or well, let's don't go there yet.
Putting you in the he had said he's done what he's promised, which is that he was going to have. So I don't know if you're the one who's going to do some teaching, but he did say that he was going to see if there was somebody who could do some teaching. He led some discussions during Sundays. It seemed like, you know, that was, you know, sort of, you know, a natural thing. And I'm just, because of my own perspective, I'm sharing this with you. At the same time, when I walked in here today, and I saw in the corner of my eye that you were sitting in that seat, I had a very strong reaction, not because it was you, Musha, not because it was you.
It was somebody else.
No, because it was like, oh, he really is leaving, you know? And it was like,
yes,
so the fact that you're saying this particular talk, it's very, I think it's very relevant, you know, and I really appreciate that. So that's what I wanted to say, one thing.
Yes.
The other thing is that, you know, I think, you know, it's like, how do we practice, how do I practice with this? How do we be with this? I know part of what you're asking is maybe more functional, you know, what do we do going forward? I'm not really prepared to discuss that.
Yeah,
but I do think, you know, there is a practice about sort of what appears to me to be this major transition.
Yes.
Which, you know, is significant because of all the things that you've pointed out, you know, about it. And yet, on the other hand, you know, I know that, you know, what's skillful, you know, what's really nurturing for us. I hope that we can do that as a sangha. And then individually, that's all.
Well, my strong feeling, and we'll see where all this goes, who knows where all this is going to go, but my strong feeling at this moment, anyway, is that the focus has really been on Genmyo a lot, and it, as well it should be, and it's an amazing resource. You can close your ears if you want to this game, though. But, and of course, the focus has been on him, as it should be. But I think, at least for a while, and maybe in, who knows how long in the future, the focus is going to be spread out more. It's got more of the sangha, I think, is going to be. The sangha itself, I think, would become more relevant, more involved in the center. Than I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you.
than it has in the past, perhaps. But we always kind of throw things in his lap. It's easy to do, you know. He's the boss, after all. You know? He always knows the answer. Who was next? Go ahead.
Well, it is a surprise to see you, Elbow. I knew it was coming.
You did?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I just... Anyway, as much as I love you, Ed...
Uh-oh. Never hear somebody say, as much as I love you... Go ahead.
It's a surprise not to see all of you sitting there. And I guess I feel... And as you have said, I believe that, you know, you'd be on the telephone, you'd be coming back here for sessions, so it's like, it's just a little adjustment with a very capable person back here.
Well, there has to be boots on the ground. I mean, you know, the general sits back at the headquarters and directs the battle, but there, you need some... Almost asshole sergeant to keep the troops in line, and you know.
You're good at that.
I'm good at that.
No, you're in the order.
Thanks.
You're in order.
Thanks.
Must be also a real change for you.
Well, is that a question?
It's not. It doesn't have to be.
But I'll answer it anyway. Not really. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what the change is. I don't know where this is going to go and how it's all going to come out. You know, it's a day at a time thing. It's the Sangha, the Zen Center. It's a day at a time Zen Center. It always has been. I mean, teachers drop dead. God forbid. Teachers drop dead. Teachers all of a sudden find out they've been embezzling all the money from the Zen Center. Wow, you know, things change radically. These things happen, and it's how we go, it's how we cope, it's how we live this moment. That, you know, I'm gonna start talking like a Zen teacher, and I don't want to do that right now. Go ahead.
I think my question was answered in that Gemio does plan on coming back on occasion to do session.
Yeah. Now the logistics of these things haven't really been worked out, but it's. He is willing and able at this point to do that. And
but there needs to be a minimum number.
Well, those are the things that we're going to work out, that we have to work out. We'll have to do things a little bit differently because we're not going to drag him from California
right.
And nobody shows up. Right. Like that would ever happen. I mean, theoretically it could, I suppose, right. Just by mathematics. But so we're going to have to be a little more proactive and making sure the session, you know, the session coordinator is going to have to get on the ball.
Meaning on the phone, confirming and reconfirming?
Yeah, I think so. And being more proactive about, are you going to sign up or not?
All right.
I don't see any way around it.
Right.
You know? I mean, we want Genyo to come back for session. I mean, what a waste of, you know, he's going to go out there and take up knitting? I mean... What a waste of talent. It's not going to happen. As long as I'm involved in the Zen Center, that's not going to happen.
It's just that my involvement in the Sangha, being an out-of-towner, I'm not here every Sunday.
See, that's the thing, Dagen. How many people is this not going to affect? In an odd sort of way. I mean, people who come down for session and call him on the phone.
Right.
No difference.
There's really no difference, right?
That's right. It's these poor... Champagne fools are going to have a problem.
No, just me.
You're going to have a problem trying to run this, being boots on the ground, but in Springfield?
Well, we'll see how all this goes. It's not that much work. Sundays is not that, you know, it's not that big. I come every Sunday now. You probably didn't know that.
That's right.
I've been coming every Sunday for a while now.
Yeah.
At least almost every Sunday.
Right.
There's times when I can't. But there's times when Genyo's been gone too. And I think there are some people in the Sangha who might step up to the plate a little bit more. You know, there's some wisdom in this group, and there's there's some real maturity in this group that I think is going to be a real benefit, you know. But we'll see. We'll see who's willing to take on what as time goes on. Anybody else? Okay. So, how do we go? Gemio gave a talk 3 weeks ago, Sunday. When was Empty Boat? Do you remember? Two, 3 weeks ago. Called Empty Boat. And he referenced it the other day as well. And in the Sunday talk, he mentioned the children's rhyme that goes, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And he kind of used that in the talk, and I'm not going to talk about his talk or in the same way. But when he did that, when I heard that talk, I was here for that talk, and when I heard it, it reminded me that I had heard another Zen teacher refer to this rhyme, this nursery rhyme. And I couldn't remember who it was, and the teacher, I remember reading that the teacher had said, it's probably the best Zen poem ever written. Row, row, row your boat. I thought, oh, well, I wonder who that was. So I went back and I Googled it to see if I could figure out who that was. And I couldn't, I didn't find it. But I did find out a lot about this rhyme. It gets a lot of play in Zen circles. It's in a lot of Dharma talks. You'd be surprised. The rhyme itself, it's anonymous, unknown origin, and it was first showed up in the 1850s, this rhyme. It was a different melody when it first showed up. And there are other verses, too. There's additional verses people have made up. It goes on and on. One that I wrote down that I like was, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Throw the teacher overboard and listen to him scream. So I wonder, why is this verse so popular in Zen? I guess it has a kind of a cliche Soto feel to it, you know, row, row your boat. Kind of laid back, in a cliche sort of way, and yet encouraging. It doesn't stress a goal necessarily, but encourages a gentle kind of continuous effort, which is kind of Zen in a way, I suppose. But the two key phrases in it are gently down the stream and life is but a dream. All right? And so gently down the stream. You know, how do we go from here? Not up the stream, not against the current. You know, maybe that's what it means. We shouldn't fight the inevitable, right? Maybe that's what it means, I don't know. But it seems to me that it's more about the way our life flows, you know, from beginning to end, down the stream of our life. And you can get into all this Zen stuff about one stream, many streams, you know, we're born into this stream and we didn't choose the stream we're in and all these interesting things. And we might curse the stream we're in and all that. But, you know, this person's stream is so much faster, they're really getting somewhere in life. This person's stream is so much bigger, you know, how come I don't have a good stream like that? But really the question is, for me, was what does going gently mean? You know, how do we go gently? I mean, let me ask you, if you're gentle with someone or something, what are you doing? Anybody?
Not causing harm.
Yeah.
Well, in order to be gentle, you have to pay close attention so that you're not striking too hard, not hard enough. When you touch something gently, you're touching it very mildly, I would say.
mindfully. You're being careful. You're taking care. If you're gentle with someone, you're being considerate. Attentive, like you said. Compassion and kindness, going gently. And I think that's what we do here at Sesshin, is go gently. We pay attention. We take care. We're mindful. And I think if this is the way we need to look at how we go forward. It's, people will get upset. People will be disappointed with the changes that are going to be made. But I think it's important to go gently with each other, with ourselves, and with the Sangha. The other line is, life is but a dream. And I don't know what I want to say about that. Is life a dream? I don't know. Maybe it is. We have dreams, certainly. Sleeping dreams and waking dreams. I used to have this reoccurring dream that I was session coordinator. And I would come to session and it's not where I thought it was going to be. I didn't recognize the building. And I didn't recognize the people. And I couldn't find my printouts and the zabutons and people. I was trying to tell people where to sit and they wouldn't listen to me. And so I couldn't find Elihu. So I went looking for him, and either I couldn't find him or I did find him, and he just would smile and say, "Enjoy." And we have waking dreams. I have a dream about living in a cabin on a mountaintop. Yeah, dreams are okay. There's at the end of the Diamond Sutra, where Buddha is talking to Subhuti. It's a dialogue. And Buddha says, "So I say unto you, this is how to contemplate our conditioned existence in this fleeting world. Like a tiny drop of dew or a bubble floating in a stream, like a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, or a flickering lamp, an illusion, a phantom, or a dream. So is all conditioned existence to be seen." So it's not that dewdrops and bubbles and lightning aren't real. It's that they're impermanent and fleeting, or without a fixed self, as we say. So maybe we should say, "Merrily, merrily, 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 self is but a dream." Like Joko says, "Caught in the self-centered dream, only suffering. Holding to self-centered thoughts, exactly the dream." And I'm going to end with a little poem here. Then Elihu Genyo has something he wants to say. And maybe we can have some more interaction. This is one of Dogen's poems that goes, "Treading along in this dreamlike, illusory world, without looking for traces I have left. A cuckoo song beckons me to return home. Hearing this, I tilt my head to see who has told me to run backwards. But do not ask me where I am heading as I travel in this limitless world where every step I take is my home."
Thank you, Mushin, for speaking with this Dharma talk. I announced that Mushin is now a Dharma holder, which means that it's a step in the process towards eventual Dharma transmission. There's a number of steps in that process, and that he will be assisting me, assisting us in teaching, in giving talks, and doing practice interviews as appropriate, and it'll be under supervision, so to speak, in the beginning. And this is the process that we have in our tradition. And though there's general outline, how it develops is not set and fixed, so how it will develop will depend on circumstances and conditions. So I'm very glad to be able to announce this. Glad that we've come to this point, because now sharing the responsibilities of assisting and supporting others' practice and supporting the practice of the center as a whole is important and called for due to karmic cause and effect in terms of my leaving. I think everything at this point that needs to be said has been said, and how it will play out will depend on the Sangha. And as Mushin said, there's going to be a, I brought this up actually to the board at the last meeting, I think it was in April, and asked people to begin to reflect and contemplate on this matter. And there's a note in the newsletter about it that's going to be on the website in a few days. And we will have another meeting, board meeting, on June 14th.
14th, Saturday, 4 o'clock.
June 14th. Is that Bastille Day? I don't know. Maybe July 14th. Okay. In any case, at that Saturday at 4, and you're welcome to attend that, or you're welcome to speak to someone who will attend it and ask them to express any things you wish, or to send emails, and there's an email address on the website about who to send emails, and we can explore specifics. But even whatever we explore then is just another step in the process, which will unfold based on circumstances which none of us can know. However, in Zen tradition, Dharma transmission is one of the most important, or should I say, responsibilities of someone who has Dharma transmission. It said you have to find at least one person to transmit, or maybe half a person, or someone who has half an eye, or one eye, who can clarify Dharma. So, how are we going to do this? I'm not sure. And as Mushin said, given technological advances, both in terms of the ability to fly here, which is something I was doing from California when we started, for probably three to four years, 3 years from actually before 1997, I was coming for Sesshin. And also,
Joko did that before you.
Yeah, Joko did it once or twice and then said she won't do it anymore. But that's due to her age, not due to anything else. I mean, she said, I'm done with that. And then, you know, sort of poked me to do it. And the group here wanted that. And at that time, there wasn't anything like internet or Skype, but there were phones, and we were able to do phone hours with the group at that time. So in a sense, we're reverting, but with more technology, and at the same time, Mushin will also be here. To assist in practice and guiding, supporting practice. So that's all I have to say for now about that. If there's any questions or comments about what Mushin said in his Dharma talk, or I can't claim to have been in the army. I was fortunate for a period of time. I wasn't drafted because I was classified as 4D, which is I was a divinity student, and then later they used a lottery, and my lottery number was quite high or quite low, whichever way you call it.
But
high.
Low is bad.
Yes, it was quite high. I think my lottery number was 350 something. So the lottery number was based on your date of birth. And, you know, you just got what you got. Because date of birth is also a lottery number.
That's right. Mine was 16. But,
however, the karmic connections that lead us to practice are mysterious, just as we say, the Dharma rarely encountered in hundreds of thousands of million of ages, this Dharma, see? And yet we are fortunate, us and others, when we encounter it, and we are fortunate if we can continue, whether because of karmic, dharmic connections, or for other reasons, continue to practice with others and to deepen our ability to be the awakened life that we are, to practice skillfully. Okay,
I want to say one more thing, if I can. It's the board and the Sangha makes these decisions about where this Zen center goes and how it functions. And it's going to be up to us to make sure that Genyo comes back for Sesshin, and it's going to be up to us to decide how this Zen center functions without him here in the times that he's not here. So this is not something that one person, not a decision one person can make. It's a decision everybody has to be involved in, and everybody has to, as much as they want, to participate in that decision. So I think it's important that we all remember that. Groucho Marx said, "I would never join a Zen center that would have me as a teacher." Okay.
Yes.
It's Oakland, California?
I don't know where I'll be living. My wife has a job at the University of California, Berkeley. Where we'll live will depend on where we can afford to live.
Right.
She's at this moment living in El Cerrito, but that's just a temporary lease that will end at the end of September, and it's that place is, as far as she's concerned, too small for the two of us, so we have to find a slightly bigger place, and it depends on all sorts of circumstances.
Would it ever happen in reverse?
What happened in reverse?
Remember, is the Sangha go out to California?
As a group?
Well, like Cindy comes in from St. Louis, for example.
Well,
Oklahoma.
Who knows what's possible, but I don't see...
you're not going to have a Sangha.
I don't know what... See, you're asking a question. I have no idea what I will do. The first, what should I say, milestone that I am attempting to do is to sell my house, to get whatever possessions there moved, some to my, you know, some to our place, wherever that will be, and some to my daughter, who will be in the same, in the general area, because she has a job there, starting in the fall. But that's all I can say. I don't know what I will be doing there, but as they say, in the Bay Area, that means San Francisco and East Bay, if you throw a stick, you'll hit a Dharma center.
You can't swing half a dead cat without hitting a Dharma
center. But I don't know what I will be doing. So but that wouldn't, doesn't interfere with the possibilities of what I can do here.
Well, let me clarify that a little bit, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is it's not your intention to go out there and start.
No, I mean, I'm not going there in order to start a center. What? Who knows what? I don't want to say what's not going to happen, because not going to happen is who knows what. Just like saying what is going to happen, who knows what. But my intention and my energy isn't towards doing that, and there are plenty of people teaching there, and good teachers, and I have Dharma sister, Dharma cousins, in my lineages that are teaching there, quite a number, and then there's lots connected to lots of other lineages, so, but who knows? But that isn't, that's not on an agenda. Yeah.
Just before we get going too far forward, I'd just like to have a little reflection. I came down here 19 years ago, this session, and I read Joanna's book about 3 times, and she had said, when I called her, that there was a place in Champaign on mimeographed paper. Anyway, I came and I looked in the window and people were doing Kim Hin, and I thought, oh my God, it's so serious. I walked in, Faye was the timekeeper, and she gave me a little talk, and I just said, no, that's not. And then the next thing I know, Jeff is tapping me on the shoulder. I hadn't seen Ellie yet, I don't think. I said, Ellie, he wants to see you. Oh my God, where does he want to see me? So, naturally, I walked in, and he said, so what's your practice? And I told him, which I won't repeat, and I said, what am I supposed to talk to you about? He said, anything you want. Well,
yeah.
He got anything I wanted. Anyway, that was my first, and I'm very grateful for that time, and that this is an anniversary. And that I don't think anybody else was here, but I know Bjork was there, Mike Anichek, Jason.
I must have been there because it'll be 20 years from this fall. And I was at
Heidi's? No, she was at Heidi's, and you came to Mike's.
I came to Mike's.
You came
to the day after. You came just the day after.
Mm-hmm. And she, yes. Anyway, that's just a reflection to where we've come from. Mm-hmm. And like Jeff would say, a lot longer.
I remember you weren't too crazy about the food either.
Really?
Well,
was it different?
It come from ashram experience,
right,
where it was a different sort of tradition. Certainly, when it came to food,
yeah,
because
they had Indian good food, and it was things were different. So certain things were more important.
We only serve good food.
No,
I think it
tastes wonderful, especially the second or third day. You know, it's a funny thing. The bread was really good. I really enjoyed the bread. You know, when the rice cooker screwed up and we didn't have rice that day.
That was yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
I thought, oh my God, next
door
we're
going to
get water.
That's what Jojo said. He was expecting a bowl of water to come around and dip her own out.
Isn't that great that you didn't get your expectation met?
And like here, I thought I was just going to... It was just such a wonderful scene to see the tray with the bread on the...
Yeah,
you know,
rice cakes.
Yeah, I didn't know why.
Yeah. You know what this Zen Center has going for it? It just is really amazing. There's this hardcore of people who are really committed to this center and keep it functioning in physical ways. You know, not just practice ways, or certainly that, but just to keep the doors open, you might say.
But don't think those are two.
Two what? Oh, two, no, they're not. Yes, that's one. Don't. Yes. Don't.
Physical ways, practice ways.
It's all that. I know. I'm just making a distinction.
Just really fast. So, less than 4 months ago, I came here for the first time. Jim Faye gave me my newcomer's orientation also. And then a few weeks later, I went for my first yoga thon, and it was, what is your practice? And what do you want to, and I, what do I, what do you, it's just the same, that's all. So 19 years later, and.
Is it okay if we say a few things about, like, how we came here?
Yeah, I think we're probably, it's all, the decider can decide, but I think we're not going to do the go-around tomorrow, and you're going to be gone anyway, so.
That's
go ahead, Cindy.
Well, it was September of 1997, and we had just moved here, and I was very unhappy. And I read about it in the, I think it was called The Onion, that alternative newspaper.
Really?
So you guys were meeting at the building on
Yale Street.
Yeah. No. Well, but you were meeting it.
Oh, we were meeting on campus.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I went to that. And then right after that, there was, I think you're having a session on Neal Street. And so I just went for the Sunday morning, and they said, if you want to, you can talk to Ellie on the telephone. And it was my turn, and they took me down to the basement, and I thought, this was weird. And so I said hello, and Ellie said hello, and he said, tell me about your practice. I said, well, it's been really helpful so far, because the first time I went to sitting, during sitting, I've been really unhappy since we moved here, and it was during sitting that I realized the reason I was unhappy was because we bought the wrong house. And there was this long silence. When you first start sitting, it's probably good not to act on the thoughts that you notice while you're sitting, you know, right away. Because I was ready to tell Andy, okay, we got the wrong house, you know, we need to sell it. And I sat with the group for a few months, but then I went to sit with another group in town. And I don't know, sometime later, but I would always run into Jeff at different places, and I saw Jeff. Yeah, this was in 1997. I saw Jeff, and he said, "Oh, you know, Ellie, that teacher, he's gonna move here from California, and we rented a house." And I thought, "This guy is dreaming. There's only a handful of people there. It was Jeff and Faye and Mike and maybe Carrie Alice, I don't know. But no, it's going to be right there.
Algie didn't know that.
You thought there was crowds waiting for
him. You had extras.
You had cutouts sitting there. You took a picture.
And so I started coming then. And the first time I came here, Jeff and Loba were here and gave me another orientation. And
was it the wrong house?
Apparently not. I mean, it's the one we stayed in. And then I found out it was right around the corner from where you live. And so, no, apparently not.
We're in Sashin, so I like you. I mean, we did talk here in a way together, but please continue with Sashin practice and Sashin mind, Sashin cautions. So please don't go talk about this with each other until after Sashin. Then, of course, you're free to talk about it. I mean, you've been free to talk about it beforehand as well. But until then, please continue with your practice. And also notice what bubbles up. Let it bubble up and pass along and arise and pass. And then what becomes clearer, feel free to speak to me about, or together we could talk about it afterwards, or bring it up to the board meeting or to someone else if you won't be attending. And in a sense, our life is ongoing transition or ongoing rowing down the stream, and yet it's always just this moment pulling the oars, just this moment being pushed by the current, but it's up to us to truly live that, or to miss it and wobble along in all sorts of daydreams. So this is a good time because we all have a certain amount of sashin, I'll use the word samadhi, energy that carries us along and makes practice, sitting, walking, and all the other functioning easy to be present because of what you have been doing for the past few days, naturally deepening the present moment. Thank you.
Copyright Elihu Genmyo Smith.